Here's a children's story you're probably familiar with. I may have even used it in a sermon. It's called The Sorcerer's Apprentice. Of course, it's an old story. You can get it in picture form, a picture book form, or as many have seen it, in Walt Disney's movie, Fantasia. In the story, the sorcerer is away. A young apprentice, admirably played by the consummate, I must say, actor, Mickey Mouse. He begins to experiment with magic spells, but he's far too inexperienced to handle it. This lazy apprentice casts a spell upon a broom and then orders it to do his job of fetching water from the well, but he doesn't know how to tell the broom to stop. And so total confusion quickly ensues. Before long, there are many brooms carrying many buckets of water. The room floods, turns into a primeval sea of chaos. The water swirls around in great torrents while Mickey desperately tries to stay afloat. Disaster seems inevitable, and it appears our favorite mouse is a goner when suddenly the sorcerer returns home. Throwing open the door wide at the top of the stairs, he majestically raises his arms, speaks a great word of power, the waves parting before him, and then the water meekly subsides, drains away. Calm is again restored, order preserved. I can't help but think of that story each time I read this morning's gospel. I think of myself that seeing that picture of the sorcerer speaking the great word of power. And I think about that because that's the kind of picture that comes to mind for many of us when we read this gospel of the calming of the sea. We picture Jesus suddenly appearing, holding his arms up, and with a great dramatic gesture speaking a great word of power, peace. Be still. It is, we imagine, a great demonstration of Jesus' heavenly authority, a display of control over the forces of nature. But if we attend to this story and the words it contains, if we pay attention to the text, not to our preconceptions, I think we might discover a different scene. Unlike the sorcerer in the Mickey Mouse tale, pun intended, Jesus does not appear out of nowhere, rushing in from off stage. It's a different picture. To begin with, the disciples' foolishness has not gotten them into this trouble. Instead, Jesus says to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And almost as soon as they set out from land, the disciples confront this mother of all storms, this great windstorm, spirit, ruach storm. It rises, the waves beat the boat so that the boat was already swamped. And quite naturally, the disciples then look around for Jesus. And where do they find him? Not like the sorcerer, away on a mission of importance. He's right there with them. He's there in the stern of the boat, catching 40 winks. "Rabbi," they say, waking him up, "don't you care about us? Don't you care that we're perishing here?" But note, there's no description of action in this passage. It's relatively clear when he responds to the disciple who are intruding upon his nap that he wakes up attentively, rebukes the wind, and says to the water, "Peace be still." Notice, he says to the water, he doesn't shout at it, he doesn't proclaim it, he doesn't call out with a loud and great voice. For all we know, Jesus might have just opened his eyes, lifted his head, rolled over, kind of moaned, "Peace, be still," and then went back to sleep, for all we know. There is a painting by Rembrandt that I think captures this story wonderfully for me. It's called Storm on the Sea. It and about 12 other masterpieces happened to be stolen from the Gardner Museum in Boston in 1990. Apparently, four thieves dressed up like police officers carried off the biggest art theft in U.S. history. It remains unsolved. In Rembrandt's depiction of this morning's story, the canvas is divided by a dramatic slashing diagonal line that runs from the top right to the lower left. That line happens to be the mast of the ship as it's being tossed upon the violent seas in the midst of the storm. The upper left hand of the canvas is bathed in harsh, almost violent light, and the disciples are shown frantically working on the rigs of the sails in an attempt to keep the ship from capsizing. Meanwhile, in the dark shadows of the lower right-hand corner, you can just make out, in the very bottom, the image of Jesus sleeping in the stern of the ship. All around him, frantic activity. He, bathed in this light, is seated and calm. It's almost as if, for all intents and purposes, he is the calm at the center of the storm. The activity and the energy of the painting swirl around his peaceful, unperturbed presence. He sits while chaos and fear encircle everything and everyone around him. It's a wonderful image. This last week, our seas were buffeted again by the storm of intolerance and racism in our country as we witnessed the killing of 9 members of Mother Emanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina. This Sister Emanuel was embracing quiet reflection and Bible study last Wednesday evening when a young man consumed by racial hatred shattered that calm, leaving nothing but devastation in his wake. This killing once again challenges us to work to heal the divisions of race and class in our country, to, as our prayer says, intentionally work as faithful Christians to take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts, to break down the walls of hostility that separate us, to unite us in bonds of love, and to work through our confusion and struggle to accomplish Christ's purposes on earth, so that in God's time, all nations and races may serve in unity and harmony around a heavenly throne. That prayer encompasses our mission. That prayer is at the core of our very being, following the storm of tragedies that continue to rage around our nation. But something happened in the courtroom of the bond hearing on Friday morning. Something happened on that day, the 150th anniversary of Juneteenth, which reflects what Jesus is teaching us in today's gospel, that reflects more the manner of the calming that Rembrandt recalled than the sorcerer's stuff of Disney. At the courthouse, family members of those who were terrorized, of those who were murdered, gathered and spoke to the accused. And those victims, as if out of a page of a book on the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, said words like, You took something precious from me. I will never talk to her again. I will never hold her again. But I forgive you and have mercy on your soul. In the moment that I heard those words, I saw the grace of God moving over the face of the waters. I saw the seas calmed and focused, and the boat moving to the other side. In that moment, I heard true spiritual power speak and act. I heard Jesus' words echoed in almost a whisper, "Peace, be still." Which is to say, I get it. When we encounter the stormy, harsh, difficult times of life, we long for a dramatic, powerful, magical response, the type that the Disney sorcerer offers us. We cry out like the disciples in the midst of our distress, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" looking for a powerful sorcerer-like hand that will come swooping down into the storm. But today's gospel reminds us of Jesus' response to stormy situations. It's more like that of Rembrandt, his image of a powerful, calm, and still presence seated at the center of our turmoil, or perhaps down in the lower right-hand corner, a presence that if we're not looking carefully, we might miss. A presence that speaks to the difficulties of living, that speaks quietly to us, "Peace, shalom, be still." If truth be told, I believe that this is the way that God intends for us to encounter the temptation.